Good to see Daniel with us tonight. Amen. Saw his truck when it pulled up out there. I said, that's a good looking truck. Look kind of like mine. All right. Tonight is the night. 134th Psalm. I've got written under it, hallelujah. Which means this is the final psalm in this series that I have preached. We preached either 15 or 16 messages, I forget what it is now, on these psalms. From the 120th psalm to here is 15, but it seemed like I preached one of them. I'm not sure, but I know there's at least 15 messages on this one subject. We have been discussing what the songs of degrees are. The word degrees means to go up. It means to ascend up. It's just like you're walking up a step, you know, stair steps. And David wrote the 15 songs of degrees. And as I have shared with you before, and this will be the last time in this set, that when the temple was built, when you entered into the court of Israel, you came across through this large gate, and I think it was a bridge there. And when you passed over that, you walked up 15 steps into the court of Israel. And during the Feast of Tabernacles, the priest would stop on each step and then sing one of these psalms, and take a next step, sing it again. Next step, sing another song till they came to the top. At the top of this stairway was an altar, the brazen altar where the flesh of the sacrifice was burned. So, folks, I got news for you. This is the end of the flesh right here. Amen. So we have presented these things to you as the 15 steps of surrender. And of course, tonight is the final one. Behold, bless ye the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord, which by night stand in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. The Lord that made heaven and earth, bless thee out of Zion. Let's pray. Father, thank you for tonight, and thank you, Lord, for this series. I pray, God, that it's meant as much to the hearts of those that have heard it as it has to my own heart. May we be blessed by the understanding of this final psalm. Lord, I believe you saved the best for last. Father, we bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Bless the Lord, ye servants of the Lord. The word servant, it can mean a laborer. It can mean many different things. It could mean one of the king's subjects. It is the same word, it's E-V-E-D, Eved. It is the same word in Isaiah 42, that is used to describe Jesus Christ prophetically as the servant of the Lord who was to come. So I think we're talking about something here that, you know, Jesus talked about, that we should pray that God would thrust forth laborers into the harvest. There's that term again. And we know that we are all subject to the Lord, don't we? He is our Lord and King. And indeed, in the same way that he became the servant of the Lord as Messiah, I believe he expects us to become as servants of God. We discussed something in Sunday school this morning, and you're going to hear more about it later. In the Garden of Eden, when man sinned, when he chose the tree of knowledge rather than the tree of life. He made a choice that was based upon a certain assumption and a correct assumption in his mind. We discussed this, as I said, this morning in Sunday school for just a few moments. But what we were talking about was what the tree of life represented. The tree of life. I asked myself many times, why didn't Adam eat of the tree of life? He wasn't forbidden to do so, was he? He certainly wasn't forbidden to eat of that tree. Only the tree of knowledge was he forbidden to eat out of. So when he made that choice, as we have as discussed about the sovereignty of man, God made you a sovereign individual. He gave you a sovereign will. He gave you the right to choose, didn't he? We make a choice. This thing's bothering me tonight. It's going to come off. I guess that throat being a little sore is just kind of choking me up. God created us and gave us a sovereign will. That's, I guess, the best theological way to define it. And if man had eaten of the tree of life, he would have surrendered unto God his sovereignty. God would have then become his sovereign, and he would have become the servant of the Lord. So here we have a passage that says, to bless the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord. Now, when it speaks of a servant of the Lord, it speaks of a man who has returned unto God, who has surrendered his will unto God, and has surrendered the sovereignty of his free will to follow the will and the plan of God for his life. Now, that makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? Amen. All right. Thank you, Brother Ronnie. Appreciate that. In this psalm, you will find the term, bless the Lord, twice. And in the last verse, you find the Lord will bless thee. Bob Mumford made an interesting observation here, and I want to pass it on to you concerning this particular thing. We hear a lot about seeking the Lord's blessing, don't we? But we hear very little about blessing the Lord. And here David tells us to bless the Lord twice as much as he blesses us. Well, amen. Folks, get with me tonight. But what I want you to see with me tonight, and what we're going to discuss is, if we're going to bless the Lord, how do we do that? What does it mean to bless the Lord? Does it simply mean to parrot some kind of a phrase to God? Is it something that, you know, Jesus said about the people of Israel, he said, this nation draweth near to me with their mouth, with their lips they honor me, but their heart is far from me. So what we understand in blessing the Lord, it is a praise of God that comes out of the innermost being. It is a worship and a praise and a thankfulness to God that comes out of the heart itself. Not just, oh, praise God. You know, you've seen people do that. You say, praise the Lord, folks. Bless the Lord. And you could hire a parrot to do that for you, couldn't you? You know? And that would mean just about as much to God as that saying, oh, bless the Lord. God wants something that comes from the depth of our heart, from the inward being, from the spirit itself. That is how you truly bless the Lord. You don't just bless the Lord by coming to church and singing and swaying and having all kind of things like that. Blessing the Lord is what comes out of your heart. Now, I want you to notice here, all ye servants of the Lord which by night stand in the house of the Lord. Why didn't he say daytime? Hello? I know God created both day and night, and he said they were good. But do not we associate night with times of trouble? All right, then we're going to come to the point here, and we will labor that point for a little while, and then I think you see what we're dealing with here. God seldom changes circumstances in our program of maturity. Let that sink in just a minute. How many of you have prayed and sought God for Him to change certain circumstances in your life, and they just didn't seem to go away? A lot of us, haven't we? God seldom changes circumstances because He's not in the business of doing that. He's in the business of changing us. Hello? He is in the business of allowing. God has allowed the circumstances, more than likely. And the circumstances are there for a particular reason. Now, I don't want you to take this fatalistically tonight. I don't want you to the fatalist says, well, que sera, sera. Whatever will be, will be. You can't change anything and so on. That's not true. Everything in life that I come against, I pray about it. God, is this something I have to submit to? Is this something that You want in my life that I have to submit to? If it is not, God, show me how to gain the victory over it. Never face life fatalistically. Amen, Brother Potter. Good preaching. All right. If it's a sickness, or if it's a debilitating disease, or if it's some kind of home situation, or something with your children, or something in your business, or whatever, if you face it, come to God first and say, all right, God, what is Your will? And to give you a scripture along that line, whenever David lost his household, he was out on the business, and when he came back, an enemy had come by his town of Ziklag, I believe it was, and had taken away his family, his possessions, everything he had, and of course the families and possessions of all of his men. And they were so discouraged, they took up stones, and they were thinking about stoning David. I mean, you know, they picked up things in their hand and were holding them. And the Bible said David encouraged himself in the Lord. Now, there was a time of deep discouragement here when they were doing what they felt like was in the will of God, and they came back and had lost everything they had. But David prayed. He sought God. And he said, God, what shall I do? And God told him, you shall pursue them, and you will overtake them, and you'll get it all back. And David obeyed the Lord, and he went and seized those people and got back everything he had lost. Now, he could have said, well, it's the will of God, but he did not. Do not take everything in life that comes along as the will of God. Test it first. That's why we are told to try all things, to test everything. If it's something that God has allowed, whenever Paul had his thorn, he didn't automatically accept it and say, this is the will of God. No, he tested it 3 different times to find out if it was God's will. And only after that was he willing to accept it, that God's glory might be revealed through him. But so often we try to take a fatalistic approach, which is a passive faith approach. And, well, it's the will of God, I'll accept it like that. But you don't have to do that. Keep your faith active in God and test everything to find out whether it's God or not. All right? Amen, Brother Potter. All right. But what I want you to see tonight is that when God does allow something in your life and does not change certain things, when something won't change that you're facing in life, it's because you're supposed to change. Hello? It's like the Japanese were famous for doing this. I know maybe many people do it now, but the Japanese were famous for it. Taking certain things and putting them into oysters, live oysters. And as they put these things inside of the oysters, it irritates the oyster. And then after a while, the oyster makes a pearl out of it, doesn't he? He takes that irritation that's in there and he makes a pearl out of it. And that's what God expects you to do with the thing that comes against your life. Amen. He expects you to yield to the Holy Spirit and allow that to change in your life
to change what's in your life. Now, whenever God took Israel into the wilderness, and he didn't take them immediately into the promised land, did he? He took them, first of all, and let them know that he was with them. There was a cloud in the daytime, a pillar of fire at night. He gave them his presence. Now, keep this in mind. God gave them his presence. Then he gave them his word and his law, didn't he? Then he gave them his guidance. Not only was the cloud and the fire there, it led them. He gave them his guidance, and finally, he gave them his provision. He gave them food and water and the things that they needed, the clothes on their back, the shoes on their feet never grew old. For 40 years, God kept them. But what he didn't do, he didn't change the desert into a paradise. Hello? Now, for y'all don't know, when I bend my ear like this, it means say amen, okay? I said he didn't change the desert into a paradise. But isn't that exactly the mindset that so many of God's people have today, that we want God to change the world to please us? 9/10 of what we pray about is trying to get God to change things to our way of seeing things or our way of looking at them. And only when it pleases us are we pleased with what God has done. But you know, you don't get very far with God in that kind of an attitude. We know that God accepts us as we are. Yet you will never find that God leaves us like he finds us. He always goes to work in our life to change us. He did not leave Israel in Egypt like she was. He brought her out. He began to work in her life. He began to change her. He began to prepare her to come into the promised land. Don't you know we've got to be prepared to inherit the things of God? We have not just been changed. God is ever in the process of changing us. I hope you're listening closely tonight. That's what this psalm is telling us. Bless ye the Lord, ye servants of the Lord, which by night stand in the house of the Lord. You know what it means to come to God in the dark hour and then bless him? I said, and then to bless him. Ephesians 5:20 says, giving thanks always for all things unto God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Should I read that again? Giving thanks always for all things. Romans 8:28. For we know that all things work together for good to them who love the Lord, to those who are the called according to his purpose. How do you suppose that you would act if Ed McMahon came to your door tomorrow and said that you won the Publisher's Clearinghouse sweepstakes? Would you be able to bless the Lord? Would you? Some of you that haven't moved over a mile an hour all your life would do cartwheels, wouldn't you? You'd get excited, wouldn't you? Oh, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Or if you suddenly inherited a lot of money or property or things that go along with that kind of thing in life, somebody gave you a new car, it's not hard to bless the Lord when all is well, is it? When there are no problems, no adversity, no trouble at home, everything is fine.
But you're going to find that it is only the servants of the Lord who have learned to bless God with a sacrifice of praise. When your world is falling apart, when like Isaiah, you cried out and say, "Watchman, what of the night?" In other words, how much longer am I going to have to go through this? When adversity and trouble and heartaches and rejection are on your path every day, then is when you're going to find it difficult to bless the Lord in His house by night. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. Merlin Carruthers, most of you never heard of Merlin Carruthers. I know Brother Jim has. Some of the others might have, but most of you don't know who he was. He wrote a book back in the 60s called Prisoner to Praise. And it had some very good thoughts in it. Now, like anything, you can take it too far. But if you're careful with it, there's a tremendous truth in that particular concept of blessing the Lord. And I want to share with you for just a few moments some of the understandings of that principle. God is sovereign. We discussed that this morning. God is sovereign. God rules and reigns. Amen, Brother Potter. Satan had to get permission from the Lord to touch Job, didn't he? Now we can say, well, Brother Potter, that Job was a righteous man, and Satan had to get permission to touch him. Well, how many of you know who King Ahab was? He's a biblical character. He's the fellow that married Jezebel. That painted hussy. You know who she was. He's the man that had another man killed to get his vineyard, or his wife did. He's a man that refused to walk with God. And yet the devil had to get permission from God to even deceive him to go to Ramoth Gilead and die. Folks, I want you to understand, God is on the throne. And whether you understand it or you want to believe it or not, I know people say, a fellow over in Denmark said this year, well, I don't believe in God. If there was a God, there wouldn't be any suffering among children. How stupid. You can't have suffering among adults without having suffering in children, can you? You know, I see people who act as if God is on trial instead of themselves. They want God to give an account of himself and why he did this and why he did that. How absolutely arrogant of mankind to think that his little pea brain can understand the magnificent workings of God. And God doesn't have to have your permission to reach into your life and take you or your child or your wife or your husband. He doesn't have to do that. But we are so earthly minded, we do not see things the way that he sees them. One of the things about growing up in God is you begin to get a consciousness of what pleases God and begin to see things from God's perspective. And when you begin to see things from God's perspective, out of your heart, you will begin to bless God for things that other people are having a very difficult time with. Are you listening to me now? The final act of surrender to God is the surrender to His sovereignty. To realize that God is in charge of your life. Many years ago, after I had first taken the church, I had a little Buick station wagon. It was green. It wasn't a new one. It was an old one. But it had been painted up. It was really nice. I thought it was real nice. And one day, Jerry and I were carrying off some stuff down to the garbage down here or down on the river. There was a dump down there at that time. And as we were going down this little dirt road, part of the road had washed out on one side and the left side. And I was trying to steer around that washout. And on the right side of the road, there was a little bush. That's all I seen was a little bush. And I thought, well, that bush is, you know, the car will just brush it aside. Well, what I didn't know was in that bush, somebody had cut off a tree. There was a stump in that bush. And it caught the right front fender, the right door, front door. Just kind of drug a little nice little dent all the way down the side of the car before I could get stopped. And it was at this time in my life that God was dealing with me about this principle. God was dealing with me about His sovereignty. Folks, God has warned me and warned me many times about dangers that were to come to my life. But He didn't warn me that day. He didn't say, watch out for that stump. He didn't warn me about that. And I hit that stump, and I messed up the side of that little car. Wasn't real bad. The door could still open and close, but it just kind of took away the appearance of it, you know, kind of hurt my feelings a little bit. Well, I remember I got out of the car, and I walked around, and I looked at it. And I stood there in the middle of that place out there by the river, and I began to worship God. I said, thank you, God. I praise you and I bless you for allowing this, because I know, God, that you don't want to let anything happen unless it's in your will. And I just blessed the Lord and I praised the Lord. And little Jerry come back and told his mama that I had lost it out there. I just kind of went crazy. About a week later, it couldn't have been much more than that, someone drove up to my house in a brand new van. It had 11,000 miles on it, almost new. And they said, we want you to look at this. So I went outside and I looked at it, and I thought, well, yeah, that's really nice. They got a new car. And they handed me the keys to the car, the van, and they said, God told us to give that to you. Hallelujah. Well, I blessed the Lord again. Amen. I said, I blessed the Lord again. Now, this was in the 70s sometimes when this happened. But God began to speak to me. And He began to make this truth a reality. Now, notice, it says here, bless the Lord, ye servants of the Lord, which stand by night in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. Now, we're the sanctuary, aren't we? Amen. And bless the Lord. And I out of my heart that day, out of my heart, I blessed God for wrecking the car. I really did. And the next few days, God gave me almost a brand new vehicle, something that I never could have bought or could have afforded at that particular time in my life. And I will always feel, now you can draw your own conclusions if you want to, but I will always feel that God blessed me because I blessed Him. Now, isn't that kind of what this says here? Verse 3, the Lord of hosts, the Lord that made heaven and earth, bless thee out of Zion. The first two verses say, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord at the nighttime, and bless the Lord in the sanctuary, and then praise the Lord. Praise Him, bless Him. The Lord that made heaven and earth bless thee out of Zion. Now, you're a mighty quiet group tonight. You ought to be running the aisles and hooping and hollering, swinging from the rafters. A few days later, Brother Jack Taylor come up to me and said, "Brother Potter, I need a new car. Where's that stump at?" There's a lot of people in the church today and outside the church that are angry with God because He's not running the world their way. Hello? That have the attitude that I just explained a few moments ago, that God owes us an explanation for the events of life. But that certainly is not what the Bible teaches us. This is a psalm of surrender. It is the final psalm of surrender. It is a psalm that teaches us that if we are surrendered to God, that we will be able to bless Him for everything and anything that God allows into our life to change us. God only allows things to come to our life that will help us. Did you understand that? The only thing that He allows to come to our life. That's why I quoted Romans 8:28, "For we know all things." Now, how many of you know what all things mean? It did not say all good things, did it? In fact, normally good things don't change me. When I have the good things, I think God's rewarding me for being what I am. Isn't that true? God must be pleased with me. He must be satisfied with me because He's blessing me. Now, isn't that the attitude that we get sometimes? And then whenever something bad comes along, then we flip over and we say, "Well, God must not be pleased with me, or this wouldn't happen in my life." Folks, let's get a life here, amen. Let's get a hold of God's life and remember that God is not doing this because He's not pleased with that life. We already know that this life can't please Him, all right? That's why Jesus had to die. It's no secret, people. This isn't something that God's trying to make a revelation about in your life. But when God allows adversity in the Christian life, it's simply because He's changing you into what He wants you to be. The more pliable that you are in the hand of God, the easier it is for God to do what He needs to do in your life. There are some children, in order to correct them, you have to wear out a hickory stick. There are other children that all you have to do is just look at them with a stern look, and, "Yes, sir, I'm going to do that." They're going to obey, you know. So if you're hard-headed, then God's going to beat on that hard head. If you're stubborn, God's going to deal with your stubbornness. If you are yielded and committed, then God is going to deal with you very lightly and motivate you into the right direction. But whatever God allows in your life, you must learn to bless the Lord. Amen. I guess I need to say that again. In fact, I probably need to go back to this lesson and start on page one and come back through it again. It's not that I don't think you didn't get it. It's just this is a short sermon. I want to make it longer. So I guess the real blessing tonight is that I'm going to quit early. But I do hope that you have got the message of this passage tonight. It is something that ministered to me. When the Lord was giving this to me to share with you, I began to think, "God, this has really been the principle of my life." And sometimes we forget those things, don't we? Sometimes we forget those things. And
the Lord dealt with me about something a few weeks ago, and I do want to, I wish the whole church was here tonight to hear this. I do want to apologize for something. You know, sometimes when we are facing adversity, and we try sometimes to defend ourselves. Even if we're in the right, we still try to defend ourselves. But the Lord dealt with me about something that I don't need to defend myself. Amen. So I apologize for doing it, okay? We put everything in the hand of the Lord. Amen. That's the best way to do it, isn't it? Amen. And we will bless. We will bless. We will bless. Hallelujah. And we will be blessed. Amen. Can you say that with me? We will bless. We will bless and we will be blessed. Amen. Praise God. Now, let me give you one explanation and I'll go from there. Whenever the word blessing is used here in this passage, the word blessing, it has several applications. Whenever a man is blessing God, he is praising God, worshiping God, giving gratitude to God for the things that God has done in his life. But whenever the word it's the same word in the Hebrew, when it describes God's blessing on mankind, it means something that is full of power. It describes something that is full of power and able to change. Amen. Able to take charge of. It literally has a prophetic meaning to it. When the Lord says, "I'm going to bless you," He's talking about the future. It can mean physical, financial, spiritual. It can mean all of it. Amen. But what it does mean is that when God says, "I'm going to bless you, and the Lord shall bless thee out of Zion," it has a prophetic meaning to it. It means that God is going to release things into your life. Amen. That are going to change you, first of all, and change you for the good. Amen. And it's going to be something that you know, it could be anything, physical, spiritual, financial, or it could be all of it. Amen. Praise God. And that's what it means here. Now, small price to pay for blessing the Lord. Now, this is not a formula. Don't get me wrong. As I said in the beginning, you cannot say, "I bless you, Lord," with your mouth and not mean it with your heart. It won't work that way. It will not work that way because you are then trying to manipulate God, and God will not be manipulated. But to truly bless the Lord, because He is your King and your Sovereign, and He will never allow anything in your life except it is working for the good. Oh, then I have reason to bless Him, haven't I? I have a reason to bless the Lord because He's allowing things to happen. Brother Ronnie and I were talking on our way down to Valdosta the other day, and he began to tell me how that the Lord began to lead him to make certain decisions. And after he made those decisions, from that point on, God began to bless him over and over and over and over. Well, the other day the Lord spoke to me a very similar thing. He said, "I want you to change direction just a little bit." He said, I've got something I want to do in your life, and if you'll take these steps, I will bless you." Now, that's what God said. And I know enough about God to know that when He says something, it's going to happen. Brother, heaven would go bankrupt. The bank of heaven would get bankrupt, and God would put the angels on short rations before He would fail one of His promises. Now, He could take up the gold on the streets and melt it down. I don't know who'd buy it. Some Texan, probably. But anyway, I'm just trying to get the point across. God will not fail His word. When He makes a promise, He keeps His promise. And so, I encourage you tonight to walk in surrender before God. Walk in surrender before Him. Because it is in that surrender to His will. We mentioned this in Sunday school, and I'll say it in closing here. That What man did not do in the Garden of Eden, he has to do today. Man chose to retain his sovereignty by going to the tree of knowledge, to retain control over his own life, and boy, has he messed it up. But what happens when you come to Jesus Christ? Why was Jesus killed on a tree? Because again, it becomes the tree of life. And we must come unto Jesus Christ. And when we come to Him to save us, we must surrender our sovereignty to God and become the servants of God at that moment. Amen, Brother Potter. Paul says in Romans chapter 6 that we are either the servant of righteousness or the servant of evil, one or the other. You have no other choice. If we yield to righteousness, we become the servant of God. If we yield to the wickedness or sin, we become the servants of the wicked one. We are servants one way or another. We are never independent from one power or the other. So I urge you tonight, I urge you in the name of the Lord, make that surrender to God. Take that final step and surrender to God's sovereignty. Did you know that's pretty hard for some people to do? To realize that God is in charge of their life. I hear people say, well, the Lord said this and the devil did that. You can't have it both ways. Either God's in charge or He isn't. If God is sovereign, He is ruling in your life, doing the good and the bad. Now, He may allow the enemy to do something, but you have to understand that God is in charge. How many of you know that God has never been dethroned? How many of you know that? Do you know that tonight? That God, although Satan brought his rebellion to the earth, the rest of the universe is ruled by God, and so is the earth. It was man that lost his possession on the earth, not God. God still rules. God is still in charge. God still reigns. And if you really want to become the servant of the Lord, then you must learn to surrender to God's sovereignty. Again, I remind you, we must test everything. We must test it. Lord, should I accept this? Should I surrender to it? Should I rise above it? We need to understand that. Otherwise, it becomes fatalism. That's the danger involved. So I encourage you, surrender. And see what God will do in your life. Learn to bless Him. Bless Him. And see what tremendous things God will do. Would you all come and stand with me around the front for prayer? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I remember not long ago, something happened. And I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I don't need this right now. Have you ever done that? Well, then I was reminded, He's in charge. I said, I was reminded He was in charge. When you face a difficult situation and you want to tell God, Lord, I don't need this, remember God's still in charge. Learn to bless the Lord. Now, I can't stress enough the importance of listening to God and hearing His voice and following His will. Submit only to that you understand that God has allowed. Amen? And then you can rise above. You can bless and see God bless in your life. So, I want us to pray together this evening, a very special prayer. First of all, I'm glad to be done with these. Amen. 15 sermons on one subject is a lot of sermons. But I still don't think we've exhausted the subject. But I hope in all of this sharing with you that this has meant something to your heart. It really has to me. Everything that God has ever done in my life has been through surrender to Him, always. There was always that point of testing and always that point of surrender. And after I surrendered, God blessed. He always does that. So we're just going to pray as a group tonight. I can't make that decision for you. I cannot say, I surrender unto God for Shauna. Amen. I can't do that, can I, Shauna? No. I can't say it for anybody here. I can't say that for you. Only you can say that to God. God, I want to surrender my will. I've made this 15 steps with us. I want to put my will on the altar up there, God. That's what I want to surrender. Isn't that what God was after with Abraham? God didn't want a dead Isaac. He wanted a surrendered Abraham. Amen. So it's tempting to preach on it again here. Amen. Let's pray together. Get somebody by the hand. Hallelujah. Father, we come to you tonight in the name of Jesus. And thank you, Lord, for this wonderful series of messages about surrender. I know it's a message the world doesn't want to hear. Adam didn't want to hear it in the garden. Men have run from this message from the time of our creation until now. They have run from the very thing, God, that could have been the greatest blessing in their life. Now, Lord, take this message and fill our hearts with it, God, as we individually come before you and say, God, I surrender tonight to your sovereignty. I surrender, God, to your rule and your reign in my life. And Father, we thank you for it. We know that you're in charge. We know, God, that you are reigning upon high. And Lord, we also know that if we surrender, you told the church of Laodicea, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, as I also overcame and have sit with my Father in his throne. Now, Father, we pray tonight in Jesus' name that you will search our hearts. And where there be that in us that resists your sovereignty, help us to surrender it tonight under the will of God. Help us, Father, to test all things and hold fast to that which is good. Help us, God, to know the difference between that which we must accept and that which by faith we can conquer. Father, fill our hearts with your presence and with your life. We bless you, Lord. We bless you, O Lord. We bless you, Father. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Will you take a few moments with me right now? And will you bless God? Will you bless him tonight out of your heart? In the midst of things you're walking through tonight, will you bless God? Will you bless him tonight? Father, as we have blessed you already this day, we bless you again now. We bless you, God, for all the things that you have blessed us with. Father, we bless you with all of our heart tonight, for you are sovereign. And you reign in our life. And you love us. And you seek only to do the thing that blesses us and is good for us eternally. Father, forgive us for our grumbling and complaining and murmuring. Forgive us, God, for justifying ourselves. And that was like Job did, Father. Father, we know that you are in charge of our life. And we bless you tonight, Lord. We bless you. We bless you, Father. This has been a wonderful day, Lord. This has been a wonderful day. And I bless you for it, Lord. I bless you in the name of Jesus. That's what Paul told us to do, to bless the Father for all things in the name of Christ Jesus our Lord. And so we bless you, Father. We bless you. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't you love Him tonight? Don't you love Him? Hallelujah. Stretch your hand toward me. We're going to bless the folks in this book tonight. Would you do that? Father, we lay our hand upon this book. There are names in here of people with problems and needs, oh God. Physical, spiritual, financial, emotional, home life, Lord, business life. Father, touch them. We lift them up. We ask, oh God, for your touch upon these lives, oh God. They've asked us to pray, and we are praying, God. We offer tonight every name in this book before you. Glorify your name, Father. Glorify your name, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus, for meeting these, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Child.